All right, welcome to Extraordinary Perspectives. I am the extraordinary host, Tino Hove. Yes, yes, I'm calling myself that now, the extraordinary host. I'm the extraordinary host, Tino Hove, and we have Kelechi in the studio with us right now. Kelechi is the co-founder of Eazy.
Project manager? Co-founder, yeah, co-creator.
Co-creator?
Visual director, if you will, of Eazy Studio.
Okay.
Literally, it's just a website put together with me and a camera and just awesome black people
in cool.
across Canada, based here in Winnipeg. Yeah, so the whole idea kind of started back in 2016. I was just talking with my girlfriend at the time kind of about something that I had an idea for. Basically, just kind of creating a platform that celebrates all the cool stuff that I knew black people in the community were doing, but kind of were all doing separately, kind of doing on their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted there to be sort of an all-in-one place where anybody that has events coming up or is releasing music or, you know, has a show and wants to kind of share it across, you know, a platform
mm-hmm.
could just kind of go there and do that, and other people could go and support or collaborate with them and just have it be really dynamic. And so that was the original idea.
Okay.
And yeah, I kind of just started taking a camera around and taking, you know, stories of people that were filmmakers, musicians, artists, painters, really whoever.
Painters. MJ, painters. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. And then it kind of just grew from there in terms of getting attention from different organizations in Winnipeg. So I've done like documentaries for nonprofits. I was invited to host a venue at Nuit Blanche. We've done panel discussions.
Cool.
So it's really just about, you know, content that celebrates black people in different industries, I guess.
Sure.
But also kind of challenges some of the stereotypes and the negative imagery that's often passed around a lot.
Yeah, and we were talking before about what perspective you had, and we're talking about filmmaking.
Right.
And how Hollywood was just predominantly white with one idea, and it wasn't really exposing a lot of people to a lot of different options that they had or different media to get people out there. Can you tell us a bit about your perspective on that and what you think about that whole thing there?
Well, I mean, all of Hollywood in its basically beginning and its foundation was white male, and it was just a whole area of filmmaking that was white directors, white male writers that were doing all of these stories from their perspectives of a variety of people. So
I let you move right. You're still off camera.
Which one?
This
we have
one.
Like three. We have like three different ones going on here. So I'm trying to get into like shot with one, and then I fall out of another one. So I'm gonna try to get all three. Maybe like doing this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that'll do it.
That's the best you're gonna get.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So. Maybe we can kind of like slide over like those two.
Yeah,
maybe?
We can. So yeah, we were saying that it was predominantly white, and you just wanted to get an idea a bit more about getting more people. Hi Yedzi, thanks for joining. Stay, it's a good show. TC, thanks for joining. Love that you're here. To everybody on Kelechi's show, I am at the Tino Hove at. @_TinoHove
Gotta drop the plug.
Gotta drop the plug. @_TinoHove If you want to watch more of these, follow me on YouTube. This is going to be on YouTube. So Tino Hove on YouTube so you can watch it again. Go.
All right. Well, where are we? Oh, right.
Yes,
Hollywood.
You can, yeah.
So,
he's
yeah.
He's at Eazy Studio.
Yeah, at Eazy.studio on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, if you look over the last number of years, and even just recently, I think 2 or 3 years ago, when you had the nominations for the Oscars
uh-huh.
and there wasn't a single black nominee, despite there being some major black actors in like Hollywood, in films that were nominated.
Exactly.
That kind of started a whole #OscarsSoWhite. So even going
hashtag
into
#OscarsSoWhite.
Yeah. So even in the 21st century, that was still something that, you know, there was that glass ceiling for, you know, actors and people of color to get recognized in the work that they contribute in Hollywood and in film. And it's starting to shift over now just in the last few years with, you know, Jordan Peele's Get Out
mm-hmm.
and Moonlight, and now Black Panther selling over $1 billion worldwide in sales.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of starting to come together where it's starting to be like, oh, wait, now these films can also do, you know, major numbers and also be recognized as major motion pictures and award-winning films.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of begs the question as to, like, you know, did it take these films being just so good, or is it just because the dollars are now coming in now that they're actually seeing a profit in something like this?
So yeah, that's a good question to pose to everyone who's watching. Do you think that the abundance of diverse filmmaking is now just because they saw that the money is there? Or do you think that Hollywood is actually starting to care about diverse culture, about the LGBTQ, I hope I said that right. If I didn't, correct me, community with different movies, about the black community with different movies, about everyone that's not white in their movies. Is it genuinely caring, or are they just responding to the dollar figure? What do you think? Whilst you guys ponder on that, keep going on your train of thought there.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've kind of not, I guess, like put a lot of, I've kind of gone back and forth with it, I guess. I think ultimately I've just been wanting to learn as much as I can about filmmaking, kind of in my own way of picking up a camera and creating, you know, learning, of course, you know, fundamentals, rule of thirds.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, just like different technical skills, but also ways that make a story effective and impactful. But then at the same time, you kind of have to look at, I guess, general moviegoers and also just culturally in Western society, you know, how movies are kind of viewed as, and they're usually seen as escapes from reality, right? You're not really going there because you're necessarily drawn to filmmaking as an art per se, but it's more about just kind of going out of the house or maybe like tuning out for a few hours and just enjoying something visually and something that's exciting. And it also kind of depends on who you talk to. I mean, it starts to vary. I think more and more people are starting to kind of get into film as an art and actually enjoying it as an art. So it's one of those things where I kind of wonder and ponder about it. And sometimes it can be a bit frustrating when you have, you know, issues like this that are still prevalent in art, because art is something that's so important that I've always admired.
Why is art so important?
It's so important. Like, I've always admired it, but I think for a long time I felt like I wasn't good enough to do it or be involved in it. There's this kind of like elusiveness to it of like, you know, how does this person do this? But I think the reason why art is so important is because it's tied to so much of human history in terms of challenging ideas or questioning authority, challenging authority, and just challenging thinking overall, you know, in terms of what's right and wrong or what's considered good.
So what kind of thinking do you feel that is being challenged by the diversity that's going on in Hollywood right now?
Well, I think socially there's been a lot of issues that have been kind of put under the table in Hollywood with with systemic racism and sexual harassment that are starting to finally get, you know, center attention. But I think also what's kind of important is the idea of where good art comes from. Like the people that can actually bring about good art and have a wide audience connect with it. I think that's one of the big things that's being challenged right now. Because I think I remember I saw an interview with Kevin Hart, who talked about years ago being...
Smoke's here. Hey, Smoke.
Hey. I remember a few years back he did some radio interview talking about how he has to go to these, you know, big production companies that will look at him wanting to do like a film with an all-black cast, and they say, oh, we can't really push this because it's a black movie. It's not going to connect with people overseas.
So that's interesting. They say it's a black movie, so it won't connect with people overseas. Why is it never, it's a white movie, so it won't connect with, like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you have one race, but like, if that's the reason it's not connecting with people, it should be, it's at this film, it won't connect with people overseas. It's silly, but anyway.
Yeah, but well, exactly. That logic should be like, okay, if it's all white men, then this movie wouldn't be able to, you know, sell worldwide, but then at the same time it still gets greenlit. So yeah, it's those kind of things that even A-list actors or A-list people in Hollywood still have issues trying to address with movies that they want to push forward and roll out, or if they do, there's not nearly as much money there in getting it off the ground. I mean, Jordan Peele doing his movie Get Out, which did incredibly well, only had a $5 million budget. For some,
I like how we say only had $5 million.
Well, I think in production, you kind of like people know like how much it costs to do even like a short film. Like, you're lucky if you you know, if you have like $10,000 to spend on a short film, and you mm-hmm. still have to make that stretch. So to do $5 million for a major motion picture, and it brought in $135 million in sales in the first couple months.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then for something like Moonlight to win Best Picture, it only had a $1.5 million budget.
Hello, Arsh. Arsh here is also into filmmaking and graphic designing, so I think this is something that he should have a lot of say. Smoke, I will pay you back for this A1 support. So Smoke has a comment here. Yes, but the race more likely to show up at a cinema are, hint, not black people. That's so true, though. Like, we actually aren't likely to show up at a cinema.
But is that in just North America, or is that worldwide? Because I think worldwide, we would have the numbers. So if you're talking about a global release, that's something where, like, it's one thing to want to create a movie and say that, oh, we need to, obviously you want to make a profit off of this.
Yeah.
But the idea of something like Black Panther 10 years ago probably would have been absurd to most major production companies, whereas now it did $1 billion because there was the worldwide audience, and there were people that saw that this was something that that they wanted to see. So it is something where a lot of people will go to the numbers and say, oh, like, black people aren't going to come out to support something like this. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also because we don't often get to see ourselves in something that is positive, that also has us sort of at the front and center, that gets this kind of funding that something like a Black Panther production did. Okay. I think most of the films that we've kind of had for a long time were kind of those still amazing films, but mm-hmm. a lot of times still fell into the sort of archetypes or stereotypes within the black community. You know, mm-hmm. you have your, gang films, or you have, you know, Friday and yeah. all those comedies that are, yeah. I still love and I still think are great, but I think there's something kind of, you sometimes might get a little bit frustrated if that's all that is what yeah. you see of you in blockbusters, I guess.
So here's the pushback here, okay? So we're saying that we need to be represented as more than Friday and Gang Wars, right? Because that sort of thing. And then the global community will come out, right? The global community is going to come out if we release a black movie. Is that accurate to what you're saying right now, or have I missed something there?
Well, I think just the idea that we can't because, the numbers aren't there, or we won't come out to support.
I feel that. I feel you too, bro.
Yeah. So I think the idea of, like, oh, we can't do it because we don't have the numbers, or we won't come out to support, is something that's based off of, like, a presumption that we don't want to.
Okay.
When I think we actually do, I just don't think we've ever actually seen it in something that was sort of on that, I guess, quote-unquote, level of, like, a big
movie
like a Titanic or something like that, that's globally recognized as an amazing motion picture or something like that. But I think that is starting to shift and change over. We're seeing that more and more, and I think also the audiences are becoming more global as opposed to just something that's an American movie or something that's a European movie or something like that. We're seeing a lot of films from Europe that are, you know, airing here and doing well, and vice versa. So I think it's starting to kind of blend a little bit more in terms of making a film and only expecting it to do well domestically. I think more and more productions are starting to realize that, you know, you need to make something that's going to be
a global audience,
particularly overseas and in places like China. Like a lot of the Avengers movies and Marvel movies actually get reshot for one version here and then another version that goes to China.
Okay.
Because they're seeing the dollars that are over there as well. So it's like
the dollar figures, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Smokey says, okay, African, referring to myself.
Damn.
Yeah, okay, African. Back me up. In Africa, both in Zimbabwe and South Africa, the only movies black people attend are black-made movies like Tyler Perry and maybe comic movies. Nobody was trying to watch Moonlight with me. Okay, cool. Okay, Smoke, you've got a point. So, if we're looking globally, the next question I wanted to ask is, so, in these movies,
mm-hmm.
are people coming to watch them because they are black movies that are diverse, or because they are super... So, Black Panther, did people watch it because it was a black cast, or because it was a Marvel movie? Right, or if we're saying Get Out, did people watch Get Out because it was a black movie, or did they watch it because
Jordan Peele.
Oh, that's because Jordan Peele was the one who made it, and you're like, oh man, we just want to go watch a Jordan Peele movie, right? Like, what's attracting the audience, right?
Well, I think it kind of has to deal with a bit of both the casting and also the content. I think with Black Panther, you had an all-black cast that were in this futuristic, fictional, epic kingdom where the main character is a king with a super suit and, like, fighting. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that's set on such an epic scale and looked amazing. I think with Get Out, it was kind of interesting when that movie's first trailer came out. A lot of people were kind of confused because Jordan Peele was this comic, or I guess this comedian improv actor.
Yeah.
And people actually saw the trailer and didn't know what to think of it. They didn't know it was actually a horror movie because they didn't know, like, if there was, like, this is like a comedy. Am I supposed to think this is funny?
Like they were confused.
But
should I laugh now?
Yeah. Like, so that was I think something that was really interesting, kind of a one-off, but we're starting to see, like, Jordan really does know his horror and knows his writing and directing in that horror genre. He's actually a huge horror fan, which I didn't know until this trailer came out. But I think it was something like, Moonlight, that's not necessarily something that everyone globally in the African community is going to watch. But I think that's also one movie. So with Tyler Perry and what was the other one that was named? Tyler Perry and something else.
The one that Smoke mentioned.
Yeah.
You can read the comments.
Yeah, so like those movies, is it because those are the only movies with black cast that are being aired there? Like if there was something else, would people not watch that? I'm sure, of course, Moonlight, yes, that was kind of the case. But I think if something else was brought there, like another Black Panther or something else like in that sort of genre, I think people would still continue to show up. I think it's just a matter of, you know, are those movies getting greenlit and being brought to the right tables or in the right opportunities to get made? It's kind of daunting to me, like, how much money is involved in film production. Like, you know, a lot of these movies that get $100 million budgets.
It's crazy.
And they fail miserably. Like,
$100 million gone.
Gone.
Just gone.
Like, actually gone. Like, I think just a few years ago, Paramount had a film that had a $200 million net loss.
That's crazy. So Eric Raymond here says, Get Out was kind of whack, boys. I knew what was going on the entire movie and went down. It wasn't even scary. That ties on to what Smoke had said, that we make movies, but in terms of quality compared to what's there, they're not as good. So are black movies good? Is that a thing? Like, is it just the budget we're given? Like, is it just that, like everything else, are we just working on a handicap?
Well, I mean, good is pretty, that's a pretty subjective standard to throw out there. I mean, as much as people love Get Out, I've also heard criticisms of it that I've kind of listened to and like, okay, like I get that. I still love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's less to do with it being something of like a traditional horror in the sense of like, you don't know what's going to happen next and you're on suspense, because it's like a lot of the beats and notes in that film.
Mm-hmm.
I think what where the fear comes from is how much of it sort of is in line with real people's experiences, with real relationships, with real being in an environment where you don't feel safe, where you don't feel like you're being listened to, where you feel like there's something that's wrong, but you can't really describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one really around that you can kind of relay that to in terms of like, you know, I don't feel safe. And then everyone's kind of like, what do you mean by that?
So, what do you mean you don't feel safe?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, throughout that film, you see Chris's character kind of expressing that to, you know, his girlfriend Rose. And there's just like this constant kind of back and forth of like, you know, he's trying to explain something, but then it just kind of gets lost. And I think that's where the beauty of the film comes in. Not necessarily in terms of its telling of this original horror story that is going to put you on suspense the whole time. But I think that there's a lot of people that watched it and said, holy shit, like, Chris is me. Or, like, I've been in Chris's shoes before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think that's where the fear element comes
I've
in.
I've been the only black guy.
Yeah.
I know how that feels.
Yeah. And I've literally seen people on Twitter or, like, people on social media that I knew that, like, post, you know, going out somewhere to, like, the woods with their white partner. And they're like, they promised me it wouldn't be like Get Out. So I think I should be good. So it's, like, it's something where, like, I think people are starting to kind of see that film as much as – it's not necessarily like, oh my gosh, this is exactly, you know, how my life is, but it's just something where you look at that and you think, oh, okay, maybe this is some what like tied to people's real life experiences, and maybe if this is some is if this isn't something that I identify with, then maybe there's people in my life who have experienced stuff like this, and maybe I should listen to try to listen and understand them a little bit more. Because as much as we, you know, say that, you know, education is important and, you know, reading is important, I think there's just something in film that has like another level, almost like a backdoor key to people's brains, where it kind of just goes around the way we normally process information. There's a classic joke from Paul Mooney about, you know, he just explains people always believe what they see. And when he references Jaws, he's like, when Jaws came out, there were like no one on beaches for weeks, even though it's all fictional. Like there was no, you know, Jaws shark. Right.
Yeah.
But then with The Exorcist came out and like you would have to like be at the back of like the church to try to squeeze in because everyone was there on Sunday thinking that like there's some possessed girl and like demons are like, it's just a matter of like, even though it's complete fiction, when you present it in a way that conveys or I guess like brings out emotion in people, they still kind of almost like take it as face value, right?
Yeah.
Even though logically, like, you know that this is fictional, I know this is just a movie, this doesn't actually exist, but it's just your brain almost like tricks you into like believing that something in this is real.
Yeah, and I think it's important. So we're just about to wrap up here, but looking at so one of your comments there was film is an amazing way to elevate minds, and Smoke just said as well that the man's is right, it's about sales. So as you were speaking about that, film is a backdoor into people's minds. So are we letting money control what we think? Like, is it just the money that rules the world, right? Like
cream,
yeah.
Cash rules everything around me.
Yeah, cash rules everything around me.
Yeah,
you know,
so
like ATM, count up. It can take it when you die, but
I mean,
you can't live without it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, capitalism, what makes people get out of bed in the morning, most of us anyway. So it's, you know, it'd be naive to say like, oh, like money is not a factor. It's a huge, it's a massive factor. Because I mean, I can't remember who said it, but yeah, just that idea of these production companies just going out on a whim and writing off, you know, a $20 million or $30, $40, $50 million budget for something. They're looking at a return for that. Like that's part of what the makes these companies so powerful, is because they sign off on things that, that they think are going to make, that's going to make them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something where as people sort of in the underground start to take more risk, and we're starting to see that now with a lot of these film festivals. A lot of these film festivals are having incredible success with films that are starting to now sort of go toe-to-toe with the you know, Hollywood films that are coming out and getting nominated at all these different film festivals. I mean, I think Moonlight did its whole circuit around the film festivals, and then that's where it got its nomination in the Oscars. It didn't even really do a traditional you know, big box release a theatrical release.
Yeah, we're just about to wrap up. Any last words?
Last words. Good question. No, I guess final thoughts. I think a lot of people in the live stream brought some really great points to the table. Honestly, I've been very new to film, so I'm kind of just going based off of the little that I've learned. But I also want to kind of learn and share what I've learned and have these discussions so I can learn more. But I think that there's kind of this, and I've heard other celebrities say kind of this black renaissance, particularly in terms of all of these celebrities that are getting shows and TV shows and films and telling these really unique stories that are still having, you know, really successful numbers.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, as we kind of get more familiar with them, there's just going to be more that are coming out from different backgrounds.
For sure. All right. Let's wrap up. Anyway, so at eze.studio is where you can find this guy. Amazing stuff.
Yep.
Myself again at @_TinoHove. All right. I'll catch you guys next time. So if you're wondering when this happens, it's Thursdays and Fridays. I'll figure out a time.
All right.
All right. Cool.
See ya.